If you like baseball, then this is your show. Noah and Brian and Adam will host. Trashing on the umps and making hot takes. We love Joe Panic because he rakes.
Yeah!
It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast. It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast.
What is up, everyone, and welcome back to episode 66 of the Nonstop Baseball Podcast. We are indeed back.
Indeed. I know it.
Joined as always by Brian and Adam. Here we are in the dog days of summer, though it definitely doesn't feel like a dog days week in terms of news.
Dude, it is. Man, if you thought it was slowing down after the trade deadline,
yeah.
Hoo boy.
Boy, were you wrong. But yeah, follow us and interact with us on Twitter and Instagram at NonstopBBPod. Love hearing from you, interacting with you on there. Ryan, how's it going before we get into things?
Not gonna lie, my room's a bit sweaty right now. I'm going through it. But I love this time of year, man. Baseball's getting into the thick of it. We're getting into the postseason. It's football season coming up. This is truly my favorite time of year for sports.
I know. Speaking of football, did you see Chelsea versus Tottenham today? Oh my
I
god.
I knew that was coming.
No, but that was crazy. 2-2. No, the coaches were getting into a fight.
Man, I thought you were gonna say
honestly, like, yeah. Why are you starting a fight there? Just shake the dude's hand and move on. Like,
well, there's stuff beforehand too.
Clearly, and, but still.
Yeah. I thought you were gonna talk about Manchester.
Oh, that was awesome too. Jensen with the goal. Love that. Also a great pass. Oh yeah, I always like watching Brentford a little bit because they always have some Danish guys. And then just Manchester United 4-0.
Dude, ooh. There's almost nothing better than seeing fan bases of clubs that are that big as horrendously down bad as they are when they get absolutely destroyed by a team.
Yeah, especially in that awesome, 17,000 person stadium in Brentford. That was just cool.
Anyway, that's other sports.
Other sports indeed. And we're going to start talking about things that actually aren't on the baseball diamond because the biggest news of the week.
Dude, might be the biggest news of the year.
Exactly, though. Yeah, we'll get into that.
We had Juan Soto get traded, though. That's pretty big news.
It's big, but this...
If you don't know, I'm sure you do, though. Fernando Tatis Jr. Has violated the MLB drug policy for performance-enhancing drugs, and that will cost him 80 games, so the rest of this year, and then, 24 or 42 games next year?
Yeah, it's 42.
It's a chunk of the next season as well, and also not going to be playoff eligible this year, obviously. Yes.
And yeah, those any playoff games don't count towards that suspension.
Yep.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, I mean, talk about just an insane swing of emotion if you're a Padres fan, right? You win that Juan Soto lottery, you're about to get Tatis back and, have three of the best players in the game all on your starting lineup. And then Tatis not coming back for a while.
Dude, and there is so many layers to this of like different things going on. And it just, the more you learn about it, and the more it's just like, Fernando Tatis needs to grow up, right? Like, it's just wild. Like, one of the things is that when you get suspended for performance-enhancing drugs, the player knows before the team, so you can do the whole appeal process. And kind of if you were wrongly said you did it, you could fight it in court and win, and the public theoretically would never even know about it and your name's not tainted, blah blah blah. So at first Tatis was appealing it. He dropped his appeal, I believe, was it Thursday this happened? Friday?
Sounds
whatever
right.
Day, whatever day the suspension came down. And that was the day the Padres initially found out about it. So when did Fernando Tatis know about it? Did he know about it before the trade deadline and let them make all these moves and get hyped for the future before? Because he ended up not fighting the appeal and he ended up just dropping the appeal and taking the suspension after fighting it for a little bit. So it's just like, that's just a layer where it's like, did Tatis know at the trade deadline that he was being popped for steroids, playing in these rehab games, getting everyone excited, knowing this was going on? It's very, very likely he's known for some time.
Yeah, I don't know. It's rough. You can also definitely sense some of that disappointment coming from teammates. Obviously, teammates get, you know, interviewed and asked to make statements, especially after news like that comes out. And yeah, you had some guys like Clevinger really not pull any punches, you know, saying like, yeah, it's the second time we've been disappointed with him, and you hope he grows up and learns from it. Because, you know, and obviously the second thing that Clevinger is sort of referring to there is that, you know, one of the reasons that Tatis has been out for so long is it was a motorcycle injury. Like
motorcycle injuries.
Yeah, which is just like, it's irresponsible to do. It is super not helpful for your team or the franchise or anything. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. And you can definitely tell that a lot of the team is kind of just not happy with it at all. Obviously not just not happy in the sense of like, we have a star player who's going to be out for 80 games, but more of a just like, really? This again? The same guy? Like, come on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think part of it too is even if his claimed ringworm story, which he was claiming also, that he was taking the medication for ringworm and that popped him, even if that were true, that it is still incredibly irresponsible of him. You have team doctors specifically who know everything that is and is not on, you know, the banned substance list. So you could just go to them. It's really easy. Or if you don't go to them, you still like cross check what you're taking with them because you are a like professional baseball player. Like it's you know.
Well, and to build off that, Trevor Plouffe in the Talking Baseball podcast said that the teams will literally apply you with like any sort of medicine or anything like that that you need. It's like part of the their deal the players have with the teams. And that way they can ensure that they aren't being given anything and be like, oh, I didn't know that was in there. Anything they need, they can get through the team.
Yeah. And that's sort of that argument of like, dude, you've got team doctors, like use them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but and, you know, I don't know. I'm not buying it.
Oh, yeah. No, the story, I mean, they've already poked kind of holes in it that like what he tested positive for and what's in the ringworm medicine is apparently not even the same. Like it's spelt very similar. And it's just like it's the more you find out about the situation, the uglier it gets. Adam was talking about Clevinger's quote. Machado also has a pretty crazy quote where he says he hasn't been a part of the team all year. We've gotten to this point so far without him. We were waiting to get him back, and hopefully he would be a spark plug for the team. And it just, I think the part where he says we've gotten this point without him, it's just kind of like, I don't know. It gives off that we don't need you energy.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously with the moves that the Padres made at the deadline, maybe they don't, right? Like, obviously that's a crazy thing to say when you've got a guy with the kind of talent that the Tatis has, but it is true. Padres are a 65-win team without him and without, you know, without Soto for the vast majority of that. Like, they are still a pretty good team.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's fair to say that the White Sox won the James Shield Fernando Tatis Jr. trade.
I mean, there's one question I really want to ask, or there's two things I want to say. The first is, like, I think what Dallas Braden said is pretty crazy. There's, like, two reasons typically players take performance-enhancing drugs, and it's either they're, like, a young fringe player hoping to make the money and make it to the league, or it's an aging vet trying to hold on. Fernando Tatis has the money. He has the roster spot. He was dealing with some injury troubles he got himself in. And it's just like, oh.
I would argue there's a third also, it's like you either got young guys who are trying to break into the league, old guys trying to hold on, or people who are have been sidelined for too long and are trying to get back faster.
And yeah, that's what Tatis, obviously, that's the group he belongs in of the three. But it's just, I don't know, man. It just...
I mean, it's definitely beyond frustrating, right?
Yeah, dude. If I was a Padres fan, I'd be so mad. So mad. Well, and like, how does this change your guys' viewpoint of Fernando Tatis going forward? Like, once he's back next year, what are you thinking of Fernando Tatis's?
I mean, I still think the dude is wicked talented. I think he'd be kind of insane to think otherwise. I think that, you know, he's a pretty immature, kid of a player, right? Like, at this point, it doesn't seem to take seriously his effect on the rest of, you know, the rest of the clubhouse with decisions that he's made. I would go so far as to say, like, oh, I'm a Tatis hater or anything like that. But I'm definitely not like a give him the benefit of the doubt kind of mood anymore.
Yeah, I would say that I'm not a Tatis hater, but I was never super on the Tatis bandwagon either. I was like, oh yeah, he's incredible, he's exciting, and he's fun. But, and like, you know, I enjoyed watching him, but I was never a super huge fan as well. And then especially with the whole, oh, so you got in a motorcycle accident, and then which one? And then,
oh yeah,
some of the other stuff. And then now this, which this is interesting. And like, I have an interesting question as well, which is obviously this was impactful. Hearing this news was very impactful. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you when you heard Fernando Tatis Jr. popped for PEDs?
It's kind of funny. At first, because at first you, when you read the headline, I was surprised because he almost falls into that camp of like too young and too talented to need PEDs at any point. It wasn't until I saw his response, which was just like, you know, a really immature kind of like, oh, well, I, you know, maybe I'll do better in the future. And I didn't use the resources that I had. And it was, you know, this and that, that I was like, yeah, that sounds about right for him.
I think I'm rather surprised, mostly because I feel like to get caught using steroids in this era of baseball, you kind of have to be dumb. Like, you know, they're testing extremely strictly for it. It's like, it almost is like a scar of past baseball, and they don't want to bring that back. And like, I don't know how you're going to get caught using steroids right now. It's just wild. This is probably the highest profile player we've seen test positive since Ryan Braun. And it's been a while since Ryan Braun tested positive.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, like,
it's no tested positive since then, but he wasn't that high profile anymore when he did.
No, not remotely the level that Tatis is. Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
Braun was when he did.
Right. No, for sure. Yeah, I mean, this will be the highest profile one probably for a long time.
It doesn't get much more high profile. I mean, got a guy on the cover of the show being advertised as the face of baseball. And it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, he could come back and perform good, and if you perform good, that's, you know, all that matters. But still, in terms of being marketed a certain way, that might not be as common for Tatis Jr. going forward.
Yeah, I think
baseball was definitely pushing him to be the guy too.
Oh, for sure. Now, I guess maybe an interesting question then that I'll bring up. You know, we talk about these kinds of drug violations sort of tainting a player. Tatis is really young. He's, what, 23? Tatis could very well have a 15-year clean career post this. Like, if that is the case and he is still really good, does this really affect sort of his the holistic Tatis career kind of outlook?
I would say it solely depends on if Barry Bonds is in the Hall of Fame by then or not.
Ooh.
Just like, honestly, okay. Like, sure. If you're not going to put, like, Barry Bonds deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, steroids or not, whatever. I'm not going to get into that discussion.
Yep.
But if Barry Bonds is not in the Hall of Fame, you cannot put someone in the Hall of Fame who's used steroids even once.
Fair. I would also maybe bring up the slight difference, and the reason that I think that this Tatis one is so interesting is that a lot of those allegations and things for Bonds came so late in his career,
and he never tested positive.
Right. That's why I said allegations for a reason. all of those allegations came so late in Bonds' career. This is so early in Tatis' career.
And that's the crazy thing. Like, Bonds was a Hall of Fame player before the steroid accusations.
Yep.
Okay, that's all I had to say.
There's differences between timing and visuals for both of these as well, because with Bonds, it was like literally showing up one year and his head is way bigger and his whole body is bigger. And he's just, you know, continuing to be awesome, Barry, but just able to mash even more at the end of his career, like we mentioned. Whereas, you know, Tatis Jr., you know, it wasn't like he was in the middle of thriving and then these steroid things came up. It was, you know, coming back from injury. It's just like, will this derail him because of everything in the clubhouse that's off?
That I think is more
all the negative. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be the more impactful thing. I think it's actually kind of a crazy concept maybe to even think about at this point, especially coming so soon off of Soto being traded to the Padres. Do the Padres look to move Tatis at some point? Like, obviously not like this year, because they can't. But like, come the end of next season, you know, the first season he gets to play, potentially coming back, do the Padres move him and try to get pieces that the clubhouse, you know, maybe supports more?
For me, that's an easy no. You're just not gonna ever get value. Like, in any trade they would do, they would be losing tremendous value because of his contract, because now what's comes with Tatis, it's gonna be a cloud that, I mean, like you said, he could play 15 more clean years, but it's always gonna be, oh, the PED guy. Like, it's just a cloud you can't necessarily get away from, and that combined with his contract, nobody's going to give you what a player of his skill set is truly worth, and I don't think the Padres are just going to be okay with losing value.
Yeah, yeah, and that is true, right? It's the contract too, right? I mean, it's what, like a 14-year deal. Like, it's a lot. So.
Yeah, I would say there's like no shot he gets traded.
Right, it's an interesting thought experiment.
No, for sure.
I think part of the reason I felt I wasn't super surprised about Fernando Tatis Jr. was maybe because I am a Red Sox fan, and I was just been conditioned to really good players just being out for the year randomly and suddenly.
are we going to segue into our boy Chris Sale?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, Chris Sale, done for the year. Extremely unlucky for the third time in a row, really, because the whole rib fracture, that was tough. And then getting hit with a comebacker, breaking his pinky, that was tough. And now, while he is rehabbing from that, he, you know, threw a bullpen at Boston College, and I was like, okay, I'll go ride my bicycle, not motorbike, just a regular bicycle, get some lunch. And he crashes, falls, breaks his wrist, out for the year.
It's horrible. Tragic.
I saw people complaining like he shouldn't be riding a bicycle. I was like, bro, it's a bicycle.
It's a bike, man. Come on.
Like, nah, dude. And honestly, there's like a solid 25-30% of the league that probably rides a bike, a scooter, or something like that to the ballpark. Like,
yeah.
Dude, we had the Cincinnati Reds literally talking about how they had like a scooter gang and would ride around cities on like bird scooters before games together. Like, what do you expect them to do? Like walk around in bubble wrap? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. And it's... like you're a pitcher too. You want your legs, you know? I mean, any player wants their legs, but especially pitchers really want to keep their legs in, you know, in shape. So
yeah,
it's so
it's
unlucky.
Just a very unfortunate accident. Yeah, all you can really say.
Yep,
but it's just really, really bad. Just look for that contract. Though I think Dave Dombrowski gets a little too much hate because a lot of those minor leaguers he traded away to get the 2018 World Series. You know, obviously Moncada and Kopech have had their successes, but the other names not quite as much. And then the people that he held on to are looking promising in the minors. But yeah, the Sale contract is a definite, I don't know if I'll say black eye, but just a glaring misfire in terms of Dombrowski's reign.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not even like a misfire in like, oh, Sale declined and was like not worth the money. It's just been like a string of unfortunate events that has kept him off the field. Like,
yes, for
it's,
sure.
It's really not even like the fault of anyone building or choosing that kind of contract. It's just like, no, it's just unlucky.
Yeah, though you could, and I mean, though before this, it's not like Chris Sale. Well, actually in 2018, Chris Sale did have injuries, but before that, he was actually relatively healthy, which was surprising based off of his frame and just his pitching style.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just in terms of visuals, maybe not the kind of guy you want to make a long-term investment in because he just looks injury-prone. But yeah, like I said, when Chris Sale, like kind of what it seems like you're getting at, when Chris Sale got signed, it was like, yeah, we got our guy. He did good for us. Want to reward him.
You may have just said this already, but how much time does he have left on this contract?
I do not know.
Like, maybe I could very well see Chris Sale going to an elite team on, like, a cheapish contract because of injury issues and just dominate. But yeah. I also don't think he's a free agent anytime soon.
Yeah, it was in...
he signed through 2025. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Or I think he signed through 2024, and 2025 looks like an option. So...
seems about right.
Yeah.
And yeah, and he basically hasn't played since he signed it.
You know, he could be like Patrick Corbin. What would you rather have? It could be worse.
Yeah,
he could be playing with a ERA close to an 8.
I guess it could be worse. Boy, yeah, Corbin. Gosh, that's rough. Anyway, the only other sort of major injury news, Michael Brantley is done for the year. He's getting shoulder surgery. He's been out pretty much all year anyway, but now just sort of officially out for the year. I don't think it'll matter that much for the Astros.
Yeah, it just means you might see Mancini play a little bit more outfield, I think, especially if Yuli gets hot.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's part of the reason they went with Mancini as opposed to other first base options, just for some possible outfield versatility as well.
A little bit of flexibility. Never hurt anybody.
It certainly did not.
But yeah, I think that's it for like injuries and Tatis. I don't know if there's anything else that you guys wanted to touch on, or maybe move on to some other stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm good with that, but we could talk about mending some injuries, specifically injuries to someone's heart. Joey Gallo. Out of New York, and possibly to his face, he had to shave so much, maybe got a cut every once in a while. He doesn't have to shave anymore. He's got his beard back. He's even talked about it helping him out, not having to shave every day. And I mean, he's not like setting the world on fire, but he's also not Joey Gallo Yankees bad.
Yeah. He's been like serviceable.
I mean, his beard is almost fully back. And like we've been saying since he got traded, his powers are in his beard.
I mean, so, just surprised? I mean, obviously small sample size, only a whopping 19 at bats, but he's got an OPS of a 996.
Hey, and that's take the small victories.
Sorry, I'm just looking at this stat line. It's the most Joey Gallo stat line I've ever seen. Oh my goodness. He's played in eight. I'm just going to read through this whole thing. He's played in eight games. He's got 19 at bats, three runs, five hits. He's got a double and a couple of home runs. He's gotten two walks and 10 strikeouts.
Nice, nice.
So striking out literally half the time he goes to the plate. Has an OPS almost at 1,000.
And I think his home run, I think it was off a position player too.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter because he's big time salty as well. Yeah, he's like that one, man, I thought we're winning a lot in New York. We're really winning a lot here. That was a good quote.
Dude, the Dodgers are unreal right now. Just side note.
Yeah, they finally got their win streak snapped by the Royals.
Yeah, they're on pace to break a franchise record for wins right now, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they've been this whole win streak has not come against like slouch teams either.
Yeah, and you want to watch out because as we mentioned, like kind of all year long, they've had a couple of guys who are normal studs for them that haven't quite turned it on yet. But Max Muncy recently, he's got a really nice 10-game stretch where he's at a 1393 OPS. And yeah, if Muncy is getting going like that, and then they have, you know, Betts, Freeman, Trey Turner, all those guys, it just gets that much scarier.
Yeah. 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 No, it's gosh, the Dodgers are so ridiculous. That's just absurd. I hate it.
Just low key Will Smith throwing his like name in the ring in terms of just best catcher in baseball. He's just so consistent. I don't know. I think if you're to ask me a catcher that I want, unless I'm just totally blanking on someone right now.
Yeah, I think it's Will Smith. I think it's very fair to say Will Smith is the best catcher in baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think I really like the way he handles his business behind the plate as well too. Right now, 20 doubles, 17 homers, 847 OPS, and just very consistent, very comfortable in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, he's just a stud. And I'm unhappy he's on the Dodgers.
I can say that about a lot of players.
Yes, yes, I can.
That's how I feel about the Yankees, too.
But do you know what? At least the Dodgers like found Will Smith and he was their guy. Yeah. It wasn't like they bring in a Mookie Betts to break my heart or a Freddie Freeman or a Trey Turner or a...
or fill in the blank of any player that they brought in. Yeah.
But dude, shout out Will Smith, the pitcher. He's our stud.
Yeah. I've got another player though that I want to shout out because I've liked this dude for a long time, but Ha-Seong Kim, man, for the Padres. Obviously, when Tatis was the shortstop in San Diego, he didn't get nearly as much play time, but now he's been pretty much the full-time shortstop starter for the Padres, and he's been like low-key really, really good this year. Like as far as his batting numbers go, they're not super impressive. He's batting 249 actually now. I'm gonna update what I put on this doc, but 249 in OPS is only a 699, so just a little under 700, but that's a totally serviceable shortstop slash line. And But his defense has been so solid. He leads the entire league at shortstop fielding percentage, and he's top five in outs above average, which is basically the polar opposite of what Tatis was doing defensively a lot of the time, as far as like fielding percentage especially is concerned. I feel like he needs to get a little bit more credit. I know some of the people in San Diego are starting to really enjoy him a lot more. I feel like really, really solid fielders don't get enough love.
Yeah, I mean, look at that Baseball Savant page for Ha-Sung Kim. It's like you're mentioning inverse of Tatis Jr., where Tatis Jr. has got all the red dots, Kim's got the blue.
Yeah.
And where Tatis Jr. has the blue dots, Kim's got the red because he's got that awesome fielder. Really, and yeah, and just solid chase rate, sprint speed, whiff percentage. So yeah, he's putting up a good at bat there, which I think you're even starting to see the Padres as a team really just give peskier at bats ever since Soto came there, just because that's what Juan Soto does, is give amazing at bats.
Yeah,
I think he's rubbing off on everyone, and yeah, it's cool to see.
Yeah.
Dude, anytime you can have a stud defensive shortstop putting up an OPS right around 700, which is kind of universally known as league average, I don't know exactly league averages, but somewhere around there. I mean, you're not going to be upset about that in any situation.
Like, yeah, like that is like when you have an actual elite defender putting up anything in the ballpark of serviceable at bats for you as well, like in addition to that. That is so good.
And I want to shout out Tyro Estrada too, but you can continue.
No,
he just hit a walk-off home run.
Oh jeez. No, I was going to say,
we're talking.
Oh man, no, I was about to say also, like, you know, you've got a shortstop who's an elite defender, puts up, you know, serviceable to slightly above average, you know, offensive numbers, and isn't getting, you know, busted for PEDs or crashing his motorcycle multiple times a season. Like, you know, I think that our boy Ha-Sung Kim is going to get a little more love, especially now.
Yeah, he deserves it. Mm-hmm. Fully. Yeah. But shout out Tyro Estrada, low-key having a great year for the Giants. Shout out. That's all I got to say. Dude, yeah, he's like a 260 batting average. His OPS is like a 730 now. He's playing all over the place for them. A lot of second, a lot of short, even some outfield. Love that guy.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a little Baseball Savant. Might as well give a little bit of a shout out to Tommy Pham, who's had a solid start with the Red Sox. Mentioned his Baseball Savant numbers when he got traded because it was like, why are we getting Tommy Pham? But then when you look at his average exit velocity and stuff like that, it's like, okay, he's hitting the ball hard all year, just maybe not getting the right launch angle or just getting unlucky as well. But yeah, he's had a solid start. Even had a leadoff double and scored in the game tonight against the Yankees. Just a quick little shout out to Pham, because I know we've picked on him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, well,
rightfully so.
Yeah, I was gonna say he deserves it, but no, he's putting up really solid numbers so far in Boston. He's been a low key like really good deadline move for them. I mean, if only Boston didn't otherwise kind of suck, it would probably feel a lot better. But
and
you know,
almost say Tommy Pham would be one of the best moves if Daniel Vogelbach didn't exist.
Dude,
he has been everything the
what
Mets
the
needed.
Heck?
And he's just a human highlight reel.
Yeah, well, man, it's fun.
Speaking of instant impact trade deadline moves, Luis Castillo has really hit the ground running in Seattle.
Yep,
two wins in his first two starts. He gave up three earned runs in his first starts over 6 2/3, though. That was kind of a, you know, right before he left the game, gave up a little home run. Is, you know, tough, but a better outing than the three earned runs indicated. But yeah, he's only given up those three earned runs over his first 14 2/3 innings pitched with the Mariners, recently going 8 innings. So yeah, he's been everything they've expected of him.
And are we surprised by that at all? Like that Luis Castillo has been dominant for the Mariners?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
No,
personally,
not even a little bit.
I just love the matchup.
It's just good.
You know what? now's the time to have this discussion.
Oh boy.
Seattle Mariners are America's team.
Yeah.
If you remember earlier this year, the Cleveland Guardians were my America's team, and I'm not giving up on them. I'm okay. Sorry, I can't.
No, I mean,
the Guardians are first in their division by 3 games now. The Guardians are 7-3 last 10. Mariners are 5-5. I mean, I know the Mariners got the hype, but man, dude, the Guardians are the youngest team in baseball. They're so fun to watch. Their defensive highlights are insane. Steven Kwan would be Rookie of the Year if Adley Rutschman and Julio Rodriguez didn't exist. And yeah, I think that's all I got to say for now.
All right.
Well, I think we might as well have a little conversation about the standings with all of that. We were talking about the Guardians recently taking first place in the Central. Yeah. That's one division that's still up for grabs. Technically, the East is the National League East and then National League Central. Those are the three divisions that you're kind of looking. Maybe someone will take first.
The White Sox are like randomly sitting 2.5 games back. I feel like they were farther back earlier. And it's just like the White Sox still could like somehow make the playoffs.
Yeah,
which would be insane.
It's so dumb that they can. They don't. They shouldn't.
The Baltimore Orioles could make the playoffs.
I mean, I think the Baltimore Orioles currently have a spot. Oh, no, they're a
game and a half out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Behind the Rays. But man, let's go Orioles.
Dude.
Well, let's have a...
Yeah.
Let's have
imagine,
a couple...
imagine there's a world where the three wildcard teams are the Mariners, Orioles, and White Sox.
Nah, I don't know about that one, bud. That's a little far-fetched.
That would be the funniest thing in the world. Just like, because we're talking, like the AL East, great division. And we've been hyping them up all year, deservedly so. But imagine just in some rare case, like one team gets in. Like, I feel like the AL East as a whole would sit back and be like, yo, what just happened?
So from the Central, who do you have winning the division, Adam? Because we already know Brian's answer.
It's tough. I think I give it to Cleveland. As much as I really do like this Twins team, and I believe I said that they would win the division at the start of the year. I literally don't remember. As much as I'd love to see them finish at the top, I think Cleveland takes it.
Yeah, I mean, they've been exciting. They got Bieber going. They're definitely the team I'm rooting for. So I just have this horrible feeling that it's going to be the White Sox.
No.
I don't even want to hear that.
Which is just weird because the White Sox were so fun. It feels like just like a year ago. And then
they have a Tony La Russa sized cloud over them.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
But I was on the Guardians early, not as a division winner, but I was showing them love in our predictions. I was just saying the Guardians just find a way to win games. They're going to be higher in that standings than you think. And they're definitely higher in the standings than I thought.
Yeah.
We need a shout out Andrés Giménez too. Like, I didn't even mention him as like the rookie. Like, I mentioned Steven Kwan, but Andrés Giménez is having a great season. I mean, he has a 307 average, 12 home runs, 51 RBIs. His OPS is an 857. And his defensive highlights at second base are absolutely insane. So, I mean, we're talking about a defensive stud in San Diego putting up okay offensive numbers. This is a defensive stud putting up great offensive numbers. I mean, his OPS is 15th in qualified batters. I believe that might just be the AL. But or maybe that's MLB. I don't know what I'm looking at. But... Andrés Giménez is a stud. This Guardians team is so young and they could be good for so long. It makes me very excited.
Yeah, great play in Toronto the other day too, where Raimel Tapia was on second base. Forget who the batter was, but hit it into like the second base hole. Giménez ranged to it, knew he had no play at first, so he just darted it home while on the run and got Raimel Tapia at home plate. It was
Tapia's awesome a fast runner.
Tapia's quick.
Yeah, so.
Well, let's move on to the NL East now. The Mets are currently 5.5 games ahead of the Braves. Braves are on a 6-game win streak. The Mets are on a 2-game win streak. Brian, On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that the Mets will end the year on top of the National League Eastern Division?
I've kind of notoriously been the Mets hater all season long on this podcast. I don't know why I don't want to buy in. I don't know why I'm struggling to buy in, but I do know I love Austin Riley. So I think the Braves can pull it out. I mean, they're 5.5 back. So like, if I had a bet, I'd probably say the Mets win, but you know, my boy Ruff is there now. So at least maybe that'll get me on the train to start believing in the Mets again. Maybe he hasn't played much because he's been the platoon for Daniel Vogelback for the most part. And Vogelback's been playing a lot. But what I'm saying is I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, Adam, can you give us a number on a scale of 1 to 10? How confident are you in the Mets?
I give them a DeGrom-sized 10.
Oh, that's very fair.
I must say, New York Mets were good before he came back. Then DeGrom came back. And DeGrom immediately has been doing DeGrom things. Dude, no, that's literally a free win every five games. Like,
and Scherzer's almost that too.
Yeah, so exactly.
Actually, I need to backtrack what I said.
Yeah,
and agree with Adam. Like, if Scherzer and DeGrom are healthy, I think I literally said this to my dad earlier this week, so I don't know why I was acting like I'm still hating the Mets. But I just told him if DeGrom and Scherzer is healthy, I think they win the World Series. Like, I don't know how they lose with both of those guys healthy in the playoffs.
Yeah, they are obscenely talented. Yeah, like, no, like, they're the only way that I already thought that the Mets were going to win this division. Like, I already thought that the Mets were going to edge out Atlanta at the end. But the only thing that was maybe, like, it was contingent on was, like, if DeGrom comes back and isn't 100%, then that is a little iffy. And then he immediately came back and obliterated both of his, like, both the teams that he faced in his first couple of starts. Like, nah, it's Mets all the way.
I don't Absolutely. Think I've ever backtracked on a take so hard.
Like, I mean, like, I'm just like DeGrom's numbers so far. Like, he's literally only made 3 starts, and he's pitched 16 and two thirds, and has struck out 28 people. Come on.
Yes, every new DeGrom stat is crazier than the last. This one comes courtesy of Jeremy Frank at MLB Random Stats. Jacob DeGrom has gotten 55 swings and misses this year. Jacob DeGrom has thrown 58 balls this year. And then he says 6 of those balls were actually in the strike zone, according to StatCast.
That's great.
Yeah, DeGrom's got a whip of 0.42. Come on. He's got he's holding opposing batters to a 109 average. Like, no. Like, he is literally almost a guaranteed win unless the Mets actually just cannot score, which historically has been the only problem on DeGrom starts.
But yeah, I'll give the Mets my confidence level in them is a solid 8 out of 10. Just because, you know, the Braves are a great team. They could get hot and then you could always struggle with stuff. But I love the Mets right now. They got great vibes. I've completely 180'd on Buck Showalter. Really fall in love with the way he's operating that team. Seems he's kind of, you know, he still is Buck. He's still himself, but you know, he demands a lot from his players and they're giving it to him. And they're also, you know, messing around with him a little bit too, which is fun to watch.
I also feel like the Buck Showalter demanding a lot from like Max Scherzer is like the actual perfect like combo. Like, I can just imagine Buck being like, hey, I'm going to need you to pitch like 120 pitches. And he's like, yeah, all right. What, do you think I was going to do anything otherwise? Other than that? Come on.
And then we have the NL West. Where it's Dodgers all
the
way.
It's the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I skipped to NL West real quick, well, because I'm looking on Twitter right now and Dustin May just threw an immaculate inning as he's doing his rehab. So
yeah,
they're about to get scarier.
Yep. And I mean, I remember saying all the way at the very, very beginning of this season that the Dodgers were going to be a really strong team. And then they were also still going to get stronger midway through because Dustin May is ridiculous. He's a really, really good pitcher. Yep.
And Danny Duffy's pretty solid.
Yep. And that was the prediction. I was saying that the Dodgers were going to get that much stronger with the addition of a guy like Dustin May. And that was before a guy like Tony Gonsolin just decided to have the season that he's having. And like Tyler Anderson as well. Yeah. Like obviously, like, you know, I think everybody kind of expected Walker Buehler and Kershaw to have the kinds of seasons that they're having, you know, which is to say sub three ERA, really good seasons. But, you know, then, and Buehler's not even done that. He's kind of actually struggled a little bit more. But to have Tyler Anderson and Tony Gonsolin be absolutely as dominant as they have been, and Julio Urias as well, like, it's insane to think that they're going to add Dustin May to that. It's ridiculous.
It's wild. But, yeah, now moving into the Central, we got the Cardinals, who are a game and a half ahead of the Brewers right now. Brewers spent a lot more time than the Cardinals this year in first, though. Now it seems like they're a lot further back than 1.5 games. Do either of you have the Brewers putting up a fight and maybe even stealing the Central back from the Cardinals?
I don't. Not after this deadline.
I think you look at the last 10 and that kind of tells you what you need to know. Cardinals are 7-3 and the Brewers are 4-6. And I think that shows a lot of where those teams are trending.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen Josh Hader have hiccups in San Diego and you hear stuff about his release point and all that. And maybe the Brewers, maybe that trade ends up looking better in the future because maybe the Brewers are like, we're not going to get any more value than right now for him. But it was still a really rough look in terms of the clubhouse and the not adding offense, though the offense is actually better than I realized. Their numbers are really comparable to the Astros, but still, I, you know, with that pitching, you needed to add more offense, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, the Brewers definitely have decent bats, but they don't have Albert Pujols, so they are going to lose.
Yeah, Pujols.
Which, shout out Pujols. Still doing it.
Albert Pujols, has actually been super good lately, too. Like, not even, like wow, good for a 40-year-old. Like, just good. Like, since the start of July, so now, like, a month and a half, he's batting .323 with an OPS of .960. Like,
yeah.
What?
And I don't... Here, let me get these...
Who bombs today?
Yeah.
Two bombs today, one of them against, if it's Tyler or Taylor, Rogers of the Milwaukee Brewers, who they got in that Josh Hader trade. And all year, I mean...
That would be Taylor Rogers.
Taylor Rogers, yes. And Pujols, 784 OPS on the year, which is, you know, really solid. But against lefties, he's just been a stud all year. Here, I'm getting these up in front of me as we speak. 351 average, a 1048 OPS, 662 slugging against left-handed pitching. So still an incredibly productive member of that Cardinals team, though in a more limited role. Don't just look at this as a little retirement party year for Pujols. He is doing damage and, you know, a weapon for his team.
Yeah. No, absolutely. He's been awesome. It's so fun to watch, man. It's fun to see Albert back in St. Louis doing that. It just feels right.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's just awesome. And a ton of emotion on his second homer today as well, which you don't always see from Pujols, but, he's getting into that let the kids play side of him as well, which is fun to see. But now let's take a look at the wild card. Let's start with the NL, because I think the question for the NL really is, do you have the three teams staying just as is, or do you have the Brewers sneaking in? Adam, what are you thinking about the NL wild card picture?
I think Atlanta's obviously going to be wild card. I really would have put the Padres as an absolute guarantee before this week. I still think they probably make it, though. I don't know. I think Philly probably edges out Milwaukee, though.
Yeah, I like it how it currently is. I think Braves, Padres, Phillies are, in my mind, likely to be the three teams to make it. I mean, especially if, I don't, like, Bryce Harper, we have to see how he's going to be doing, but Is he out for the year? I don't remember.
He said he's coming back at some point, yeah. But we'll see.
So, I mean, if the Phillies get him back, that would be massive, and I think that's enough for them to make it.
Yeah, honestly, probably.
But in better Bryce Harper news, he said he's playing in the World Baseball Classic, so woo-hoo, I don't care what he does for the Phillies.
Ooh, you know who doesn't get to play in the World Baseball Classic? Fernando Tatis, because it turns out PED suspensions also make you not eligible for that.
That's brutal.
That is... Yeah, that is tough. Like that could be that look like some good PR. Psych, you're still out, yeah, bro.
Nope. Goodbye.
But yeah, I like the as it is right now. Though I could definitely see the Brewers sneaking in there with their good pitching. But then also you have the Padres and Phillies, who are just have a bit of a recent history of tough luck and collapses at the end. So
yeah, that is true. Philly could totally fall apart.
Yeah.
And, dude, the Brewers still have the talent where they could get hot. Like,
yes,
you can't just skip the Brewers like they're not good.
Yes. I mean, here's if the Brewers get in, they could obviously get in other ways, but here's my little crystal ball. It's because Yelich just has a vintage Yelich month and it's electric in Milwaukee.
And you know the Giants are now on a 4-game win streak.
They're not making
looking
it.
Looking too far away.
Nope.
Let's go Giants.
They're not getting even
Lamont
close.
Lamont Wade shaved off his fro and he's hit 4 home runs in the last 6 games. Joey Bart's has like an average of like 500. He's hitting the crud out of the ball.
Joey Bart has
just
looked
believe in it.
Joey Bart has looked very good. He has looked yes. like a major league baseball player. Which is good.
Yes.
Because he had not yes, before.
Yes. Joey Bart he flipped a switch and he has kind of found his confidence playing baseball. Tyro Estrada's playing. The Giants have a lot of people going well. And what it's going to come down to is can their bullpen be functional? And that's been the biggest difference between this year and last year. They have like 2 guys that are doing good in their bullpen this year. And their defense has been bad. Yeah. So if they can get that together, there's a chance. But I'm not buying it.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, Brian, without looking at the numbers, do the Red Sox have any shot at making the postseason?
I mean, I'm not going to say no.
Because they're one game closer than the Giants.
I will say, though, the one big difference is the Giants and the Red Sox have less teams in between them. Like, it would take less teams collapsing for the Giants to make it than it would the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that's the only thing the Giants have going for them.
Well, speaking of the Red Sox, let's head into the AL wildcard picture. Brian, we got the Blue Jays, Mariners, and Rays currently with the Orioles a game and a half back and both the Twins and White Sox 2 games back. And as we mentioned, the Red Sox 5 games back. So what are you feeling? How are things going to shape out in the American League wildcard?
I'm feeling Mariners. Orioles, White Sox.
Okay.
You ask me what I'm feeling. That's
okay.
What I'm feeling.
All right, bud. All right.
No, okay, but seriously, like, it's going to be, I feel like this is going to be the race to watch. Like, these wildcard teams, because there's legit 6, I include the Giants, so I'll include the Red Sox, 7 teams that could potentially end up in these spots. And, I mean, I don't think I can very confidently say one's a lock. Like, in my mind, the Mariners and Blue Jays are probably locks. But, like, I can't confidently say that. I mean, the Orioles have been so hot. The Rays just find a way to do it every year. I honestly really like what the Twins are doing. I mean, they're kind of on a losing streak. But, man, imagine if we see Correa hit, like, another level like he sometimes does in those big spots. They have a talented team. The White Sox have all the skill players to do it, just Tony La Russa. And the Red Sox, I mean, yeah, the Red Sox traded away Vasquez, but they didn't really trade away anyone else of too significant note. Like, they're still a talented team, so they could even do it. Like, I don't know if you guys think I'm crazy by saying I'm not really that confident in any one team for being a lock, but that's truthfully how I feel.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I mean, at least for my money, at least, I think it's probably going to be Seattle, Toronto, and then fill in the blank of the other AL East, another AL East team.
I will say that's like probably the likeliest situation.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably what's going to happen. I think that Tampa and Baltimore are going to just jockey for third place. Boston could still make a run up. I mean, they're really not that far away. Like those are all possible things. I think that's probably the most likely.
You're not very worried about like a team like the Twins or the White Sox for that matter.
The Twins could win the division and have a worse record than the Jays at second place. Okay. I'm not worried about, I'm not worried about any second place team in the AL Central. They are not going to be close.
Okay. What about you, Noah? What are you thinking about these wild card teams?
Well, I don't know about any other strength of schedule, but I know the Mariners have what has been ranked the easiest strength of schedule going forward. So I do like the Mariners locking that up. I think the Blue Jays are going to do it, though they've kind of surprised us at times earlier in this year with underperforming. So I think that would be just the ultimate, you know, like sort of summary of their year if they somehow collapse. But I hope not, because they're really exciting. And then I do like Tampa Bay. I like it as it is to get in. I think they're really starting to go. Franco has been taking BP. They got some of their typical Rays guys at the deadline. But yeah, seeing the Orioles sneak in there would be absolutely awesome. Another central team could make it, but I only see the division winner making it, honestly.
Yep. You did sort of bring up strength of schedule, and that is, I actually had that as something I did kind of want to bring up. Seattle does have the easiest strength of schedule left for the rest of the year. But the AL East strength of schedules, and specifically who some of these teams are playing, I think is actually the most interesting thing. The Rays still have to play the Yankees 9 more times. And more important than that, the Blue Jays and Orioles have 13 games against each other still.
Oh my gosh.
So that's the real deal there is it's not even just about, the overall strength of schedule. It's specifically who are you against? Because the AL East still has plenty of time to absolutely beat each other up.
I'm gonna declare something right now. Rougned Odor clutch hit season.
Oh, okay.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Orioles and Mariners are making it.
Yeah.
Dude, told me at the beginning of the year that the Mariners, that I would be saying right now in August that the Orioles, the Mariners, and the Guardians would all be making the playoffs. that is my opinion. I would think I was unhealthy. That's what I would be thinking.
But yeah, also just quick shout out to the Red Sox. Very early in this year, it looked like they were down and out. And then before we knew it, they were one of the best teams in baseball. So, I mean, it doesn't feel like they're going to do it again just with all the, you know, the bicycle stuff and all that. But they got Michael Walker back tonight. I haven't checked the score in a little bit. But yeah, and they're going to maybe get some more guys back. They're a team with an offense that could do it, though J.D. Martinez has really fallen off as the year has gone on, not hitting for power. But yeah, they've done it before this year, so maybe they could do it again. Alex Verdugo, we called him out, or I did. We're guessing whether he or Gallo would have a higher OPS at the end of the year. I think he listened. Because yeah, he has a 1432 OPS since last podcast and 5 doubles on the week. So
yeah, but Gallo's in LA now, so... It's a real race.
Yes, this is true. This is very true. Well, one fun thing that I also wanted to mention, Miguel Cabrera had one of the greatest lazy days of work you'll ever see.
I loved it. It was perfect.
Yeah, he comes in as a pinch hitter, immediately gets intentionally walked, which if you're familiar, these days they don't even throw the pitches. They just tell you to go to first.
Yep.
Goes to first and then immediately gets is replaced by a pinch runner. So he walked on the field with the bat, threw his bat, walked down to first, and then walked to the dugout. Day over.
Job well done. High fives all around.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so good. I mean, we can sort of running out of time, but if we want to rapid fire some of the other fun things that have happened. Aaron Judge has hit 100 RBIs. He's the first one this year to get there. He's been absolutely out of his dang mind. He's got 46 home runs. It's so ridiculous. But the other kind of crazy one that happened was Drew Rasmussen, dude, almost perfect game today. Ended up 8 1/3. He gave up a leadoff double in the 9th inning. But man, what a game.
Yeah, I don't think he had a... I was looking, there's this one graphic that it was like pitches per inning. It was like 10, 8, 6, 10, 9. I think there was like maybe one inning he threw 12 pitches. So that would have been just crazy, legendary, efficient, you know, performance from him if he was able to get the whole perfect game. But still an awesome performance by definitely under the radar performer this year.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know who else is very underrated and shouldn't be? And we've kind of just like talked about him very sparingly throughout the season is Dylan Cease.
Yep. Yeah.
That dude's a stud.
Cease has been absolutely unbelievable.
He has a 1.9 ERA.
Oh, yeah. We only talk about all-stars here. Yeah. Not people with sub 2 ERAs.
Yeah. 1.96 ERA, 128 innings pitched. You go to his Baseball Savant page. He has a lot of 90 plus stuff on Baseball Savant, which is where you want to be.
Yeah.
Hard hit percentage, 90 percentile. Expected ERA, 94. Expected slugging, 95. Expected batting average, 96. Strikeout percentage, 95. Walk percentage, 19th percentile.
Yeah.
Fastball velocity, 92nd. Fastball spin, 97th.
Yeah, I mean,
this dude's just nasty.
The dude is, he's got 174 strikeouts. He holds opposing batters under 200. Like, he's had an absolutely unreal season, and it's just crazy that we haven't talked about it. And I think it's just that, like, a lot of his individual games don't look quite as impressive, like, at a first glance. They're not like DeGrom starts, where you look at a single start and you go, what? How? The difference is just that he's done it, like, every single time. Like, he's just had a really good outing every single outing, it seems.
Yeah, he's just, like, the epitome of a very, very good modern pitcher. Like, you know, maybe two or three times a year he's going to get you 7+, but most of the time it's going to be 5 or 6.
Yeah,
really, like, awesome innings.
Yeah, like I'm just, like, you know, I'm just going to throw a couple, like, a month of Dylan Cease starts, 4 2/3 with, you know, 5 strikeouts, but a bunch of walks, 4 2/3, 8 strikeouts, 5 innings, 8 strikeouts, 6 innings, 11 strikeouts, 7 innings, 13 strikeouts. And in all of those games, he gave up a total of 1 run. Like, it's that kind of thing. Like, he's not giving you, like, 9 innings. He's not giving you complete games or, you know, he's not giving you, like, you know, a DeGrom outing every time. But, like, for your starter to go out there for, 5 innings, like clockwork, and just not give up a run, insane. So good. So good.
Really valuable pitcher, for sure. Disrespected by the All-Star ballot, no doubt.
Yeah, super disrespected. Wainwright wasn't an All-Star either, and he's had a really good season too, though. He actually went out and threw a complete game this week. Only gave up the 1 run and 1 walk, 8 strikeouts, which is honestly high for a Wainwright outing. he's not really a fireball strikeout kind of guy, but love seeing Wainwright still pitching games like that. So fun.
Oh yeah, big old loopy curveball. I mean, you just gotta love it.
One of the prettiest curves in the game.
Yeah, and then the young guy had to match Wainwright too. Logan Webb, 8 innings pitch, 5 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 9 Ks. I mean, he's a stud, been overlooked because the Giants have been disappointing, but big stud. But we can move on in to series to watch this week. Talked about, we gave a little preview to this when we were talking about our standings, but Orioles versus Blue Jays to start the week off.
Boy, oh boy, you're going to be seeing it a lot.
Toronto.
Yep.
Trying to prove who's the big old bad bird.
Yeah. Yes, pretty much.
Yes.
But yeah, this will be a series that we get to see a lot of it. It's in Toronto. Yeah. It's in Toronto this time, and then they were in Baltimore last week. They'll be in Baltimore again next week, and then the week after that, they'll be back in Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, this is a major week where we might see movement in that division because we also have Rays Yankees.
Yep.
Going on at the same time, so I mean, the Blue Jays or Orioles could be looking in a great spot if the Yankees drop a sweep on the Rays and the Rays drop a little bit. It's a chance for the Blue Jays or Orioles to move up and try to create some separation early on. Yeah. We'll see what happens, though.
There's going to be a lot of movement. The AL East is going to, I mean, it's sort of been that way all season with the bottom four teams. If you're not the Yankees, your spot is in jeopardy all of the time.
Yeah, no doubt. And speaking of movement, we got Mets versus Braves as well. There's some potential for the Braves to climb or the Mets to gain some space. So that's a big series in that division.
Speaking of movement, like Daniel Vogelbach.
But, I just don't even know what else to say about that.
The other early week series to shout out is the Dodgers-Brewers.
Yep.
Has some fun potential. I mean, it definitely matters more for the Brewers than the Dodgers. At this point, I don't think the Dodgers really care too much.
Though, one thing that I heard, I don't remember where it is from, about the Dodgers, which makes the Dodgers so special and just who they are, is the Dodgers are the machine that they are, way out in front. You're never going to out-hustle the Dodgers still, though. They have an amazing culture. They've committed to players that they understand who are going to hustle and bring great leadership, and they fight as hard as any team for all 162. And yeah, it's just that's one thing that I haven't heard highlighted about the Dodgers, but really makes them the special organization they are.
Yeah, and me saying they don't really care about the series really is unfair to their work ethic, because they are out here grinding away series. I mean, they just went on that ridiculous win streak. The Dodgers are coming to the ballpark to play their best game every day, and every other team just has to deal with that.
And every other team just has to lose every single time.
Unless you're the Kansas City Royals who broke their win streak. Hey, way to go, Royals.
Shout out, Royals.
You did something.
Not being in complete joke. You know, the Royals are 6-4 in their last 10, so yeah,
they're doing fine.
Big shout out to Royals. We love you.
Don't put words in my mouth now.
Yeah, that makes one of us. anyway, some more, obviously, more AL East action, Blue Jays and Yankees. They haven't played each other in a cool minute, so that'll be a fun one to see if the Blue Jays just get stomped again, because last time it was not good. But,
you'll love it. And then we got a World Series rematch, Astros versus Braves. That'll be exciting.
That'll be a good one.
Yeah, I wonder if that'll be our Sunday night baseball game. Yeah, I don't know. It should be, yeah. Though we got Blue Jays Yankees over the weekend, and then also Mets Phillies. So three good possible matchups. But I think the World Series rematch will take the cake there.
I don't know. Sunday Night Baseball does love themselves some Yankee baseball. So
This is Mets Phillies again. Mets and Phillies are currently playing in New York. This will be in Philadelphia. So we get to battle a lot.
Okay. Let's Adam, what do you think the Sunday night baseball is going to be?
What do I think the Sunday night baseball matchup is going to be? Let me look at all the games that are happening on Sunday.
Okay, look at Saturday. Look at Saturday so you don't see the actual times. It'll be the same series, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. I mean, it'll probably be Jays Yankees.
Okay. Brian, what do you think the Sunday night baseball game is going to be?
I mean, the fact you're asking this tells me it's not going to be any of these teams, I feel like. So, as much as I would love to say they love themselves some Yankee baseball, or that they love themselves some Astros Braves.
Yeah.
What is it? Because it's going to be neither.
It is Red Sox versus Orioles.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. It's the birds.
No. Do they not? In Camden Yards. So Sunday night baseball in Camden Yards.
That's pretty nice.
It's pretty cool.
I like Camden. Camden's a good park.
Flex games. Like in football, like towards the end of the year.
They must
have,
because no way the Orioles were just slotted for Sunday night baseball. That must have been a newer thing.
Why isn't it? Yeah, I mean, so it could have been Jays Yankees. That would probably have been better. It could have been Nationals Padres. That would have been good. That's got the storylines.
No.
That's got the storylines.
I'm sorry, but the Nationals are 38-78. No. And nobody wants to watch them play baseball.
Yeah, well, I mean, but they want to watch Soto play.
They could do that on their own time, not on Sunday night baseball. Right.
Fine. Whatever. It's... Yeah, surprising that it's not the Yankees, but whatever. I guess they can't take every slot.
Yeah.
Good week of baseball. Hopefully nobody else gets busted for PEDs.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Hopefully. Maybe we get a week of that.
Hey, let's go play some good, clean baseball this week.
Let's play some good, clean baseball. Wear a helmet when you ride a bike, and thank you for listening.
And root us on in our softball championships.
Oh, yeah. We're going to take the cake like the Orioles.
Unless you're Kyle and dropping fly balls. Shout out, Kyle.
Yeah, shout out to Kyle.
And with that, we'll see you next week.